Hey, shalom everyone, I'm Yair Tzarfati and Pastor Barry Stagner here. Back in 2018, we began working together on the Bible Bites. Basically, these are short excerpts from my teachings on video that Pastor Barry started writing short devotionals for.
Now we've taken these devotionals and compressed them down into one-day easy reading segments. And each day you can understand not just the importance of prophecy, but have application for your own personal life. We've titled this book, Until He Comes, 365 Devotions While We Await His Return. I hope you can grab it online today.
Until He Comes, let's read every day the wonderful devotional and remember that the Lord is coming soon.
The book is actually going to be released on December 2nd, so we're in pre-sale mode right now, and we would greatly appreciate if you would go to Amazon, click on Until He Comes, or type in either one of our names, and let's get these pre-sale numbers going so we can get it in front of more people.
Thank you, and God bless.
Shalom. Hey, shalom everyone, and welcome to the Middle East and Beyond. I'm Barry Stagner, coming to you from beautiful, sunny Southern California, and I'm here with my dear friend and brother, Amir Tzarfati from the Galilee. Shalom, Amir.
Shalom, Pastor Barry. Good to see you. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing well. You know, it's been an interesting week. Hostages are coming back, and we still are in the war business in southern Lebanon and other places, and we'll talk about much more today.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting. Our lead story is one that is really manifesting itself in various ways all over the world. Jesus told us that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. And we're seeing that manifesting in your country in a very specific way, which actually kind of points back to the judicial reform issue that was causing so much anxiety in your country before the whole October 7th massacre took center stage. So maybe you can bring us up to speed on what's happening within the corruption of the legal system there in your country.
Yeah, well, you know, not for nothing we need a judicial reform, because our judicial system is very centralized and very powerful, and is also that which should be the beacon of justice and truth, unfortunately is infected with so much corruption. And the story goes back to the early days of July of last year, when a whole team of military police raided a detention center for Palestinian high-profile terrorists in the southern part of Israel, a place called Sde Teiman. And the raid was actually not in order to take care of the terrorists and capture and whatever. The raid was actually against the Israeli IDF soldiers that are actually taking care of them and guarding that facility of very high-risk terrorists from among the Hamas. That caused a very, very great uproar in Israel, in the middle of a war, in the center of detention of the worst terrorists that raped and burned and killed and slaughtered our people. Our military police is receiving order to arrest our soldiers rather than the terrorists themselves being the ones that are held accountable for what they did. Uproar, protests, and the military advocate general felt that there is injustice that is being done to them. And so she colluded with her team to release a video from the detention center to somehow justify the arrest of the IDF soldiers. However, the one thing she didn't take in consideration is that the video that you and I can see right now is actually made of two different videos taken from two different detention camps, and the alleged assault or rape of one is actually Not in the major part of the video, which was taken elsewhere, not where that person was. In other words, they didn't even bother to tell people that they're actually watching two different videos put together, and actually, the crime that they claimed that happened there did not even happen on camera, and certainly it didn't happen on the major part of the video. What you see, by the way, they're taking care of a terrorist that was actually a high risk, whom we suspected is hiding a sharp object in his body. That was the thing that caused the Israelis to call a specific intervention team that pulled him over in order to find that sharp object, because the idea was that he will eventually attack one of the guards. And of course, throughout the process, he was injured. And later on, he was convinced by a left-wing doctor that came to visit from a very progressive organization. He was convinced to change the story as if somebody raped him. 2 weeks later, doctors confirmed he wasn't raped. And the allegations of rape were dropped. And now it's only assaulting him. By the way, they did not assault him. They took care of business in order to prevent a stabbing of one of our people that might happen. The thing is this: the advocate general climbed up a very high tree. She didn't know what to do, how to get, to stop all of this attack. And she didn't mind sacrificing Israeli soldiers in order to clear her name and her unit's name. The problem is that she leaked the cooked video. Not only that she leaked the video, which is already forbidden, but it's not even a real video, it's a cooked one. And for the longest time, there was an inquiry of who leaked the video. What's going on here? Why is it that 100 million people viewed a cooked video? They don't have a clue it's a cooked one, a stage one. And now they think two things: Israeli soldiers are rapists, and those Palestinian poor people are in a concentration camp. These are the two hashtags and slogans that literally caused so much suffering to Israelis and to hostages that were held by Hamas. And they saw this video, and I don't want to tell you what they did to our hostages because of that. So basically, the advocate general promised that she will investigate who leaked it. All the way, she didn't tell anyone that she's the one who ordered the leak. How did we find out about all of this, Pastor Barry? One of her staff was prone to be promoted. So when Israel, in the legal system, in the military, when you're being promoted to become a judge or something, you need to go through a lie detector, polygraph. And you need to, and one of the things they ask is, have you ever committed an offense? And in order to pass the lie detector, she had to confess that soldier, that woman from the unit of the advocate general, she confessed, yes, I leaked the video by the order, in the order of the advocate general. What? I mean, for over a year, the whole country is trying to figure out who leaked the video. The advocate general, in a sworn affidavit, wrote that she does not know who did it. She lied to the chief of staff, to the defense minister, to the Supreme Court, or everyone. She lied to everyone. And if it was not for the lie detector, accidentally, that we did for one of her soldiers that was prone to be promoted, we would have never found out that she did it. And she admitted to have done that. And she staged an attempt of suicide the day after, and she got rid of her phone. She threw the phone into the Mediterranean Sea as if she walked into the Mediterranean Sea in order to commit a suicide. Perfect staging, perfect. Everything stinks so bad. And why it stinks so bad? Because we know that she colluded with Supreme Court justices. She colluded with the judicial system that is not the military one. Everything stinks. Everything stinks. These people have no borders, no limits, no shame. They can burn the whole country. They can sacrifice their best soldiers in order to save their own skin and in order to reach their own goals and dreams. And unfortunately, I have to say, it's just the tip of the iceberg. I believe we're going to find... We just found her Apple Watch. We believe that we found some other things also in her house. And I think she's not only she's in trouble. I think most of the top of the judicial system in Israel is in deep trouble. And when the truth will come out, not only that the Israeli soldiers will be acquitted, but I think it's time to get rid of all of those and put together a cleaner judicial system in Israel. And that's why a reform is so required. Fake video. There was never rape. There was never anything. All of that in order to save their skin from fake allegations. They didn't know what to do. And they threw under the bus Israeli elite unit, soldiers of elite unit. And that's where we are nowadays. So it's a big scandal in Israel. The whole country is talking about it. Drama after drama. Can you imagine? Hundreds of scuba divers are now in the Mediterranean. Hundreds looking for her phone. Unbelievable. Because everybody knows the damning thing is in her phone. The person is supposed to protect the IDF soldiers is the one that damned them, and the person who's supposed to be an example to how to uphold the rule of law and supposedly demanded the rule of law to be upheld by the soldiers is the greatest crook and criminal, and acts like she's in a mafia or something. So very, very big thing, and we'll see what happens. But again, you cannot undo, you cannot fix the damage that has already been done with all the fake allegations against IDF soldiers, as if we are rapists, as if we keep Palestinians in concentration. Pastor Barry, these are the Nukba terrorists. They are the rapists that we captured on October 7th. They are the ones who burned babies and beheaded people. These are these people. And look what we do. We completely lost our mind. We are accusing our soldiers using fake videos, doing something they never did. And now all the terrorists in that detention camp are happy because they know nobody's going to touch them anymore. Because everybody's afraid that another cooked video will be leaked and they will be arrested. And can you imagine? Terrorists feel so good now in detention camps while those who are supposed to protect us from them are afraid to do what they need to do. Unbelievable. This has to be changed, and I hope it will soon.
Yeah, we don't know anything about that kind of stuff here in the States, Amir, obviously.
Yeah, no, your everything is beautiful, and there is no corruption in America. You're right.
Yeah, it's interesting that Paul talked about the last days, and one of the character flaws that he mentioned is that people are going to be traitors, and boy, are we seeing that in our own country. I think there's people in the voting booth that are betraying our country and yours as well. And, trying to make things right that have proven themselves to be wrong is now looked at as some kind of evil, like Isaiah 5:20 prophesied.
Yeah.
And Amir, we have to talk about Gaza today and the pockets of strongholds, terror strongholds that remain. And Israel continues their self-defense mode and they're protecting themselves from further actions coming out of Gaza. So maybe you can give us an update on what's happening there.
Yeah. So if you remember, before the ceasefire was announced, Israel controlled 80% of Gaza. If you remember, the Gideon chariots. So take a look at this map. It shows you how we took over and literally we had over 80%. We surrounded the Gaza city. We were very close to complete surrendering. And then everybody were wondering, well, how come in the area Israel controls, there are pockets that we don't take? Look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pockets we never touched. And then when the ceasefire was actually agreed, and Israel pulled out to the yellow line, take a look at that one. Israel is now pulling out to the yellow line, those five pockets are still in Israeli-controlled area. What are these pockets? This is where the hostages were kept in underground tunnels where Hamas terrorists are. There's now hundreds of terrorists. Now, in the Hamas-controlled area, of course, as you can see, they're looting the aid trucks. Look, they do what they always do. But if we can, guys in the control room, if we can go back to the beginning of the map, I would like to show you that these pockets, what's so interesting about these pockets? These pockets that you see are areas we refrained from operating there because we knew living hostages are right there. Now, when all the living hostages were already handed over to us, and there may be a few bodies only, now the terrorists are trapped. They don't know what to do. They are running out of food, running out of oxygen, running out of medication. And they're the only ones that are alive there. Everything else is dead. And Israel is saying, you have two options only, surrender or die. Hamas is trying to reach a deal. That's why Hamas is very generous in the last few days. Haven't you noticed that they started releasing more hostages now? For almost 10 days, they didn't release anyone. And now they really, really want us to release the hostages, the terrorists. They have the audacity to think that we will let terrorists walk out of tunnels with their guns. And so, look, they released the three hostages 2 days ago. Three of them are military officers and a soldier. One of them is the highest ranking hostage, a colonel, who was the commander of the Southern Brigade in the Gaza area. Then a day later, they released another one, and that's last night, Itai. And Itai Chen was released last night. And this morning, we learned that it's him. And tonight, they're going to release another one. That's what at least they announced. But look at how many hostages are left now. Only seven. Remember, the war started with over 250. Only seven hostages' bodies remain in Gaza, of which two are foreigners. We're talking about Joshua from Tanzania and Sudasiak. He's a Thai worker. Now we have four civilians. And the only one that is a soldier is actually from 2014 in the hands of Hamas. It's a dead body of Hadar Golding. And so seven are left. So if they return one again tonight, there will be six only left, of which we know that they already have three more. So there's only maybe three that Hamas really may not know where they are or has problems accessing. But this generosity of Hamas is only because they want to save their own skin. They want us to allow the safe passage of hundreds of Hamas terrorists that are trapped in those pockets under the ground. Now, we never operated there while living hostages were there. We didn't want them to execute the hostages. But now when there's no one alive, we're actually standing right above those tunnels right now with our guns pointing at their tunnel shafts. Because we're not going to let them out alive. That's it. It's over. Game over. And they know it. And they're trying to use the Qataris and the Egyptians to force us to reach a deal to allow them out. And the prime minister was very clear. And the defense minister even clearer this morning. No, either you surrender or you die. And by the way, remember, we give you living terrorists for living hostages and dead terrorists for dead hostages. If you want to come out and fight and die, then we'll return your bodies to Hamas. That's the story in Gaza at the moment.
And Amir, there's been some stories breaking out of Iran. You know, they're continuing to boast that they're rebuilding and, a mock execution of Netanyahu and President Trump out in the streets displaying their supposed rebuilding of power. And you've got the same thing going on the northern border of Israel with Lebanon and Hezbollah claiming to, you know, basically refuel the motor of their machine, so to speak. So what's happening on the northern border there with Hezbollah?
Just a reminder, to know that we're still in phase one with Gaza, and America is submitting to the Security Council a resolution to allow the international force be created to control Gaza after the hostages are back. But I'm not sure if it's going to happen. We'll talk about this next time, about this proposal. Let's move to Lebanon. In southern Lebanon, Israel continues to strike every day. In fact, today we killed another terrorist. In fact, Pastor Barry, in the last week, we killed 20 top terrorists in southern Lebanon belong to Hezbollah. The problem, Pastor Barry, is this. Israel is learning. Hezbollah is burying them, of course. You can tell by the funerals that they were top officers and top commanders. Now, Israel is learning that Hezbollah is rearming itself in a faster pace than we anticipated. And let me read to you story in a classified briefing to the Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee. IDF intelligence officers warned that Hezbollah is rebuilding its military strength faster than Israel's strikes can curb it. And they said that the effect of Israel's 2023 and 2024 campaign, it's fading, basically, allowing Hezbollah to restore infrastructure, smuggle weapons through Syria and the sea, and produce arms north of the Litani while retaining a vast rocket and missile arsenal. This is so concerning. And I can tell you that America conveyed a message to the Lebanese government, a clear message. And it's basically a deadline until the end of this month to disarm Hezbollah or face the consequences of a broad Israeli strike. So Pastor Barry, either at the end of October, the very beginning of November, or the beginning of December, round two with Hezbollah is around the corner. And there is already a feeling of the eve of another round. Lebanon is getting ready for another round. Remember, Israel is already deep into southern Lebanon. And it's going to be so powerful, the air campaign that we're going to launch, that I really don't think a single Shiite village will stay intact along our border. I think what you saw in Gaza, that 80% of Gaza is gone, southern Lebanon will be wiped out completely, which then will allow us to move further and destroy everything else. I mean, look at this map of Lebanon, north of Israel, and of course, I think we showed it last week, but it's always good to see it again, that the southern part of Lebanon has all of these shenanigans of the Radwan force of Hezbollah, that they're plotting again some stuff against us in those towns. And that's why we are striking them every day and every week, and we kill them more and more and more. But again, they continue to smuggle anti-tank rockets, surface-to-surface missiles, and rebuild their arms. And we see that, by the way. We're watching it. So that's why we're warning the Americans to warn the Lebanese. If you don't act, we will have to act, and it won't be a nice thing. By the way, Iran is doing that because Iran is incapable of fighting Israel, as they already realized. Iran is doing the same with the Iraqi militias. They are arming them right now, hoping that they will launch some strike against Israel. And America warned the Iraqis as well. So America warned the Lebanese, and America warned the Iraqi government, be careful, you're playing with fire, because Israel will not wait. It will strike if it feels that it is threatened. And so that's basically it when it comes to Iran, when it comes to Lebanon and Iraq. And as far as Iran is concerned, there's a defiance, and, you know, they march, as you said, march in the streets with some mock-ups of centrifuges and drones and missiles. And And they basically admitted that all the 400 kilograms of the enriched uranium is buried under the rubble of the nuclear sites, but it's not destroyed. And we also received information from the Iranians of how the assassination of Ismail Haniyeh took place. A rocket, a precision-guided rocket, was fired at the place where he stayed in the special complex of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards in Tehran. It wasn't a bomb under his pillow, it was a precision rocket from a nearby place. So again, the Iranians, as you can see, they on one hand admit of all the stuff that happened to them. On the other hand, they're saying, we're not giving up. We're ready for round two. We will not give up our nuclear program. We will not give up our ballistic missiles program. And we are ready for another one. So that's who we have. Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran are the three entities that the world wants them to disarm. And these are three entities that are jihadist. And they will never disarm because it's against their DNA. All who they are is entities that's supposed to destroy Israel, and if I may add, America as well.
Yeah, Amir, it's interesting you mentioned that the enriched uranium remains intact. And you know, we've talked about this before, but I think it's important for the viewer to understand that when you have 60% enrichment, you are 55% above what's necessary for energy
Exactly.
grade enrichment. And you're just almost the same distance away from that weapons grade. But 60%, that's all the heavy lifting is done at that point in time. And it's a lot faster to get from 60 to 90 than it is from 5 to 60. So a few centrifuges again brought into play, and they could have weapons grade uranium in just a
And they
matter
are
of a
trying.
few weeks.
You're right. They're trying to build new centrifuges. We already are watching them assembling a new site for that purpose. And so we're also monitoring if they're reaching out to the stockpile of the enriched uranium that is there in the area where the nuclear facility was struck. So yeah, I mean, it's there. They're playing with fire. And I believe that the round two has to happen. There's no doubt.
And you know, I think the stories we've talked about thus far are a perfect segue for reminding you to make sure that you're subscribed, that you're liking, sharing, and commenting on this video and any others like it, because like the opening story, you know, the fake news out there is in full swing and people are jumping on board with things that simply aren't true and promoting them. We're having that happen all over the place in this country. And social media is the new media platform of the day. You know, people aren't, I'll be honest with you, Amir, I haven't watched the news on TV in years. Everything is done online or through print media, online print media. So, you know, we need to get this information out so people can know what actually is the truth regarding not just Israel, but the whole of the world, because those on the other side are paying attention and are proactive to a degree that the church and conservatives and Christians need to be.
In
Amir,
your case, by the
that's
way,
go ahead,
in your
sorry.
case, I mean, you're with me doing all of this, but I think a lot of people don't know that you're actually a senior pastor of a church that that's your main thing. You pastor at Calvary Central OC in Costa Mesa, California. You have a wonderful church, thriving church, and that's what you do all week long. And everything you do when it comes to conferences and online things that you do with me and when we travel, it's on top of what you normally do as a senior pastor of a church. So I just think
It's the
that,
cherry on top for sure.
for sure.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, it's funny because we've had multiple people come and say exactly what you just said. I didn't know you pastored a church. So thank you for that little reminder
No
there.
problem.
And you know, looking at the events that make up the last days, Amir, you know, one of the things along with the rise in anti-Semitism is a hatred of Christians and the right. slaughter, the wholesale slaughter in especially African countries, I think. And, you know, the jihadi massacre continues and Christians are being burned because they're not, you know, and this is kind of interesting because it points all the way back to the days of the Caesars where, you know, a pinch of incense and the phrase Caesar is Lord was necessary to basically spare your life. And a renouncement of the Christian faith was required yeah. in those days. And now here we are again, right back all at that same again. Demand.
Yeah, you know, Pastor Barry, I have on my Telegram, obviously we cannot show those videos here on YouTube and Facebook, but on Telegram I've got two videos, very disturbing videos of jihadists that are coming to Christian in Sudan. And they're basically telling them, do you refuse to accept the one God, which Allah, I mean, do you refuse to accept him? And they said, yes. And so they're being slaughtered, killed, executed. And not just by killing them, by shooting at them, which is the smaller video on the left, but the one on the right is actually cages where they put them and then they burn them alive. And I have it on video. I mean, actually, 500 bodies were actually found in charred graves. In each grave has 500 bodies. Thousands of people are being slaughtered, Pastor Barry. Thousands of them. Do you see protests? Do you see Black Lives Matter? Because I guess Christian blacks don't matter. Do you see the UN? Do you? In fact, the only world leader that said something is President Trump when it comes to Nigeria. Yeah. We all know that President Trump posted on Truth Social that if needed, if necessary, America will even invade into Nigeria to save the Christians there. I mean, the Nigerian's government was like, whoa, we are shocked that he would say that. Well, don't be shocked. Just protect your Christians. Unbelievable, unbelievable slaughter is taking place as we speak right now. But because they're not Palestinians, nobody cares. Because they're not the darling. Because remember, no Jews, no news. Remember, there's no Jewish people in this whole picture. I mean, the people that are killing are Muslims, and the people that are being killed are either Christians or Muslims. All of them are blacks in Africa. Who cares? There's no white killing black that we should be outraged, or there is no Jew killing Muslims that we should be outraged. And that's where we live right now, in a hypocritical and very, very, very crazy world. And as you said many times, there are more Christians being slaughtered for their faith now than the last 2,000 years combined. And it's very disheartening to see that. And honestly, I can't wait to see America stepping in and taking care of business also there. With all due respect, how come the whole world is pouring billions on despicable fake nation of terrorists in Gaza, and nobody wants to move a finger for indigenous black people that live there in Sudan and in Africa and in Nigeria, and they're only being slaughtered for their faith? It's unbelievable hypocrisy.
It really is, Amir. And one of the things I think is important for the viewer to remember is that God has said in Romans chapter 13 that those in places of governmental power are his ministers, and he gave them the responsibility to bear the sword. And the purpose of bearing the sword, meaning take up weaponry, is to protect the innocent from the evil. And so anything outside of that, to turn a blind eye to what's happening now, is a violation of God's plan and role for those in places of governmental power. You know, there's a responsibility that is divine in nature to do what President Trump said he's going to do, you know, should the Nigerian government not act. So, you know, this isn't anything to get upset about, that the president said he's going to stand in defense of the Christians and act if necessary. It's exactly what he's supposed to be doing. It's exactly what the Nigerian government ought to be doing.
You're right. And where is Tucker Carlson? But all, I mean, if a Palestinian person is being insulted by a Jew, he will have a whole show on it.
Yeah.
And tens of thousands of Christians are being slaughtered. And
Not a
him
word.
being the protector of Christians in the Middle East, I thought the protector of Christians in the world, not a word. Not a single word. They're all obsessed with the Jews, obsessed with Israel, but they're all fake Christians. Fake Christians. They don't care about Christians. They don't care about real persecution. They don't care about real genocide. They don't care about real famine. All they care, all they have in their mind is hatred towards Israel, hatred towards Jewish people, and it's just in their blood. And they can't help it. That's who they are. And unfortunately, these are the influencers that Americans are listening to. Many Americans are listening to. It's very, very disheartening.
Yeah, they really are, Amir. And that reminds me of Ephesians 5:11 that says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And exposing them is what you just did. And it's the fellowship part that needs to get corrected. Listen, if somebody's an anti-Semite, don't listen to them. If there's a pastor that's an anti-Semite, don't go to that church. If there's somebody that's an anti-Semite author, don't buy their book. It doesn't matter that a portion of their content may be accurate or maybe even enlightening. If they are against what God has ordained, we're to expose it as evil, not have fellowship with it. And glad you pointed out, this voice that so many are listening to, who said that, Zionism is heresy.
Yeah,
And
that's all
I'm
they care
sorry, but
about. Yeah.
Jesus is a Zionist.
Absolutely. You know, Psalm 132, the Lord has chosen Zion to be his place. God is a Zionist, we should be also. And you know, what about Candace Owens, black lady? She calls herself Christian. Every day her show is about Jews, Israel, Jews, Israel. I thought
Yeah.
you care about the truth. Okay? Where is your voice against all of this? You know, there are hypocrites, and the world should see that.
Yeah. There's been some meetings taking place and others scheduled with the White House. And
Yeah.
you mentioned a moment ago Abraham Accord information, and maybe you can bring us up to date on some of these meetings between
Yeah, you
Riyadh
know,
and
I
the
call
White
it
House.
the carrot and the stick meetings. So the Syrian president, for the first time in the history, the president of Syria is coming to visit the White House. Remember, Syria has always sided with the wrong people, always sided with either the Soviets, the Chinese, the Iranians. They've always been anti-Israel and pro-terrorists. So I don't think there's ever been a case where the Syrian president visited the White House. And for the first time in the history, the Syrian president is going to visit the White House. Tom Barrack, the special envoy of President Trump to Syria and Lebanon, base confirmed that on next Monday, the 10th, November 10th, Ahmad el-Sharaa, ex-ISIS terrorist, bounty that was on his head was $10 million, terrorist, Al-Qaeda terrorist, he's going to be in the White House. But President Trump invites people, and President Trump sometimes even gives compliments to countries that we all know they're in bed with terrorists, like Qatar. Why would President Trump shower them with so much honor and compliments? Because he knows that if he wants them to do what he wants, he needs to. You can get the flies with honey.
That's right.
That's exactly what he's doing. And I think he's bringing the Syrian president. Because remember, he wants somehow to reach an agreement between Israel and Syria that will keep that border quiet and will keep Iran out of that part of the world. And again, remember, yeah, last week we talked about the big plan from India all the way through Arabia to Jordan and Israel, all the way to Europe, the new trade route that President Trump wants to bring prosperity to the region. On the way, I'm sure America will cut some coupons, fat ones as well. But the thing, or maybe his own friends and family. But my point is this: My point is that there's a carrot and there's a stick. And I'm sure that the carrot is, I'm inviting you to the White House. The stick is, Israel is staying on Mount Hermon. Israel is staying in southern Syria. And you need to take care of your minorities. You cannot slaughter them as you do. And when it comes to the Saudis, there's a deal with F-35s that the Pentagon already approved, but now it has to be approved by the Congress and the president. So far, the only country in the Middle East that have F-35 is Israel. And Israel always supposed to stay on with a superiority over our neighbors. And of course, Israel is concerned about any intention to sell F-35s to any other Arab country around.
Right.
But again, if you remember, part of the Abraham Accords 5 years ago was selling F-35s to the United Arab Emirates. And now it's on the table with Saudi Arabia. That's the carrot. The stick is what you're about to see in this interview.
I wanted to ask you about the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is coming to the White House this month. He has said they won't join the Abraham Accords without a two-state solution. Do you believe that?
No, I think he's going to join. I think we will have a solution. I don't know if it's going to be two-state. That's going to be up to Israel and other people and me. But look, the main thing is you could have never had any kind of a deal if you had a nuclear Iran. And you essentially had a nuclear Iran. And I blasted the hell out of him.
He basically said the deal was that I'll take out Iran's nuclear program and Saudi Arabia will get what Saudi Arabia wants from me and in return, it'll join the Abraham's Accord even if Israel is not agreeing to a two-state solution. You saw what he said. He says, no, they will join the Abraham Accords. And whatever we agree upon, it will be agreed upon Israel and me, he said. It's not only the Saudis. So I think there's going to be interesting things happening before the end of this year. And again, on November 18th, Mohammed bin Salman, the Crown Prince, is coming to the White House. He wants the F-35s. Trump wants the Abraham Accords. And everybody wants to see this new economic route that even crosses Saudi Arabia. And again, now when the Gaza war is almost over and Hamas is crushed, everybody thinks it's the right moment to move forward with it.
Interesting, those two, especially, looking at Mohammed bin Salman, MBS he's a businessman too. And you've got two men that understand that you attract more flies with honey than vinegar. And, so his comments about, the two-state solution has to be on the table. That's to appease basically his Arab neighbors and those who would throw stones at him, for not saying that. But I think he knows what needs to be heard out there. But I think Trump is exactly right. He's more interested in getting that F-35 on the ground. And he'll say what needs to be said, much like Trump does with Qatar and other nations.
Yes.
And when push comes to shove, he's after that plane.
Yeah. And remember, with Qatar, if you remember, I mean, as much as he says all those great words, President Trump gave us the green light to strike in Doha. And that was the game changer for all this deal to move forward.
Exactly.
He can say many things, but I think by now they understand that he will not play games. And if something radical has to happen in order to get them to rattle a cage and to get them to move, he won't hesitate to do it.
Yeah. Amir, I have to say our next story is global in scope and troubling like few others. And, the quiet Islamic takeover of the U.S. And it's not just here. It's all over the world where they are creeping in through, immigration. Europe basically has already fallen. Now here you've got the U.S. Electing Muslims to office who promote Sharia law. Amir, one of the most interesting things that's happening here is, we've been hearing mantras from the far left about, we have to protect our democracy. Trump's violating the Constitution, where Article 14 of the Constitution says if you are, you know, in any way, shape, or form associated with anti-American sentiments and approve of these things, you can't hold public office. You can be removed by a two-thirds vote of the Congress. So, you know, it's just, it's such a upside-down, backwards world where truth and lies have exchanged really priority. But maybe you can talk about this Sharia creeping into the U.S. institutions.
Yeah. Well, you know, I actually wanted to talk about Mamdani and him being elected as the mayor of New York City last night, because it's a 34-year-old piece of nothing who did nothing but doing some rap. And he is a socialist. He was born to immigrants, and the guy basically was born to an Indian Ugandan Muslim parents. He was born in Kampala, Uganda in 1991, so he's 34 years old. Came to America at the age of 7, didn't do much, but again in 2020 was elected to the assembly of the New York State, and in 2022 was reelected. And he realized there's a lot of young people that are doing nothing, and they want to get everything and still do nothing. And he's one of them, by the way. And it's interesting because this guy has some radical red flags. I mean, reckless socialist freebies. I mean, you can read on the screen what basically everything he wants to give to people is not doable unless he raises taxes big time and scare the heck out of all the billionaires in New York and make them leave. He wanted in the past to defund the police, and he never stood by them before. He actually has ties and begets donations from CARE, which is related to terrorist organizations, and you can hear about that. And by the way, all of them are quietly saying what we all knew, that they're the ones who cause him to run. He has horrific anti-Israel views. He wants even to arrest Netanyahu if he comes to New York. He is always dodging anything that has to do with Hamas. He will not call them terrorists. He will not call them to be disarmed. He will call it a justified battle. The guy is everything America is not. I'm not even talking about Israel right now. Is everything America is not. But unfortunately, a third of the New York Jews are liberal progressive Jews, and they voted for him. Two-thirds did not, but one-third did. And add to that all the other no ones who'd care less about their country. Actually, they hate their countries. Now, he's the puppet, and Soros is the puppeteer. And I don't know, you could see that Soros Jr. is very proud that Mamdani was elected. This is probably the only billionaire that Mamdani loves. He hates billionaires, but he loves this guy. And the problem is that now when he's being perceived as a success story, now the Democratic Party is rallying around him. And now that's the route they want to take. And I don't need to tell you how many young people in America are brainwashed to believe that socialism and communism are good things. TikTok is loaded with it because it's Chinese algorithm that is pumping all of that. Yeah. And China and Russia are, this is a psyop. And so all I'm saying is that we see strong delusion in America right now. And I can see that with that comes a quiet takeover of Islam. Because Mamdani is very, look, take a look at one of his interns, and look what she said on social media.
And the true believer knows that none of this is in vain, that this is all jihad, that this is all ibadah, and that this is all counted for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the conversation of doxing, the conversation of getting arrested and suspended, I think it's time for Muslims to start to say, all right, so what? Do what you want. I'm gonna do what I gotta do, because it's about time to do that. And I know everybody has their own families and has an education and everything. It's just a question. We don't want to get doxxed, and we don't want to get suspended, and we don't want to get arrested. how gangsta are you? That's just my question. How much are you willing to do it? And I know everyone has their own risk levels, but at the end of the day, that's a question to ask ourselves. How committed am I to this? How, to what extent of my personal material gains am I willing to sacrifice for this bigger noble cause? And it's kind of low. I truly believe that when your heart is in the right place, if you get suspended, if you get doxxed, because it's bound to happen when you're doing a righteous cause and when you're doing something for the sake of Allah here in the West, it will never, ever be in vain. And the true believer does not fear that, because the true believer knows that the Akhirah is a promise.
Yeah. Ibaya. The destruction of the infidels. That's the direction. And they don't look, they used to be afraid of saying that out loud. Now they're saying it to your face. That's it. And by the way, Sharia, the first thing a mayor does normally is appointing a police chief that is having his own views. I mean, it happened already in Dearborn, Michigan. And now take a look at this. You know, they say that NYPD will change, military will change, and that's what we're going to see in those places. To be honest with you, I'm way more scared to go to New York City than to Dubai. You know, Muslim Brotherhood are banned from Dubai. They're not banned from New York City now. I mean, in fact, they're ruling New York City right now. And they will rule more. There were more Muslim gains in other places, such as in Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. There is the vice governor that is now a committed Muslim and more. Look, it's, they have patience. They know that through your corrupt judicial system and your progressive liberal judges, they can always find their way to do what they want. And there is enough people on the left, just like in Israel, enough people on the left that more than they love their country, they hate the fact that they're not in power. So they will do whatever it takes to be in power, even if it's to sell the country to the enemy. That's what we started this program with. You know, we started the program with that. And that's why, even in America, I think a judicial reform is due. And I think that I'm telling you, if next year, in the midterms, there is no great uproar of the conservative movement and a great change in your election system, America is going down. So I hope you guys will do the right thing. Yeah, Pastor Barry, it seems like we're running out of time today.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, as we consider all these things, Amir, again, I think it's just amazing to see so many things prophetically being fulfilled. You know, there's one last real quick mention. You know, there's a man in Ohio who's a representative of lawmaker in Ohio, Thaddeus Claggett, who seems to have some forward-thinking perspective on what's been happening with AI and the fact that Gen Zers are saying, you know, some 75% of them, or eight out of 10, 80% would say they'd consider marrying an AI, some, you know, artificially created individual. And he's trying to push through legislation that will not allow AI to have legal rights. And, you know, this might seem to be a bizarre thing. And to some, they probably think, oh, how silly. That's not even possible. Well, there are those who are pushing for animals to have equal rights as humans. And, you know, we've just got so many crazy things going on in the world. Amir, I have to tell you, I say this all the time, and I say it because I believe it more every day. I think the Lord's coming to get us pretty soon.
Absolutely.
The whole world is for God.
Yeah, I believe that too. And I, in fact, that's the only comfort I have in this crazy, crazy world today. Well, Pastor Barry, listen, thank you. We'll pray for you. And we ask all of you guys also to keep our family members in prayers for health and protection. Satan not only is going after us, but many times after our own family members. And again, thank you for watching. I want to remind you all that we have a new book that is coming out, a devotional, 365 days of devotions, that is called Until He Comes. We would love you to pre-order it and get it as a wonderful gift for Christmas. Not only for you, get a few copies for you and your family members. The only one that we know of that is about end times, Israel, and Bible prophecy, that is 365 days. And also, guys, we chose the best and the newest, the largest and the nicest ship for Alaska cruise next year. It's the Celebrity Edge, and we're going to have a wonderful prophecy conference there next July. Join us, please, if you can. Last but not least, our young adults new initiative. If you want to join, help, and contribute, Young Adult Strategic Vision, scan this QR code. Thank you guys for being with us. Thank you, Pastor Barry. Greetings to your church, Calvary OC, in California. Greetings to them. And shalom from California. And let's conclude with the Aaronic blessing.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you his peace. In Yeshua's name, we pray this blessing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.